Well, praise the Lord, church. Today we have a guest speaker from Israel. And for those of you who don't know, Rodney and Rosemary are in Israel at the current time with 32 other folks. So please be praying for them. But see how God's got a plan, because Rodney goes to Israel and he sends us a man of God who loves God, who grew up there and has a heart for teaching God's word. I had the pleasure of having dinner with him last night, and I love to hear his wife talk about him and how that he loves the Lord, he loves God, and he loves to teach God's word. Rami has been a tour guide for over 22 years over in Israel, so that's the way we have the connection. And it's always exciting to see how God uses us wherever we are to do God's work. He's also been a pastor up in the Irving area for about two, 3 or so years, but primarily he has been in Israel providing information like we would like to have, understanding like God would like for us to have about God's word and where he lived and where Jesus walked. Amazing. And so it's just a real joy for us to have a man of God who's going to speak the word of God to us. So Rami, would you come? Rami Daniele.
Thank you, my friend. Good morning. It's a privilege to be here. I didn't know anything about you till about 1 month ago. And Kyle, would you stand up, please? Actually, you need to clap your hands to him because he's the one who brought me here. And Kyle was on a kind of a private tour with me in Israel last month. And he is the one responsible for me to be here now, okay? I mean, God is the one, and God used Kyle. So, actually, my official name is Yosef Joseph. Yosef Rachamim, will add mercies. This is the name. And Rachamim, the shortening of Rachamim is Rami. That's why most people know me as Rami, R-A-M-I. Now, if you have problems with my accent, it's too late. You have a problem. But I will do my best to be clear and speak slowly, okay? And when I prayed and asked the Lord, you know, what shall I speak to you precious people of God, you holy people, not holy because of yourself, but because of the blood of Yeshua. Yeshua, by the way, Jesus in Hebrew. Yes, Jesus' mother never called him, Jesus, breakfast is ready, or lunch is ready. He would be a very bad boy. He would just continue playing with his mates and would not pay attention. When she would call him, salvation, dinner is ready. Yeshua, salvation. And it became later on in the Greek, Latin, Greek, and to English, Jesus. But this was not his name, okay? Yeshua. So whenever you hear me speak about Yeshua, you know whom I'm talking about, right? Jesus. Okay? But much more significant, Yeshua, salvation. What a name to pick for your child. Salvation. Yeah. So when I was praying, I mean, I don't know you. I don't know how much you know about Israel. Actually, I'm coming. Oh, I can see that the title is over there. Yeah, that's the title that I thought God gave me for this church for today. Who is your God? Israel. There is one word missing there. The Gentiles and Israel in an end time context. This is the theme. This is the title of the next 5 hours. Rodney gave me 5 hours. I will try to squeeze it into 40 minutes. Okay, sounds good. So we will blah, blah some more. You know, I'm coming from no less than a miracle, Israel. Not just the land, but I'm talking about the Jewish people. My ancestors, my father and mother, I was born in Israel, okay? And I will not tell you when. About 18 years ago. 18 plus 8 years ago, I was born in Israel. But my parents came from Persia, later on known as Iran. Okay? But my parents actually, their ancestors, going back to 26, at least 26, 2700 years, okay, from the Babylonian exile. Okay? Because Babylon was captured by Persia, Madai, I know that you know this story, okay? So I come from a miracle, I am a miracle standing before you. Because I'm a Jew, I'm a Sabra, I was born in Israel, like Yeshua was born in Israel, Yeshua, Jesus, yeah? Like his contemporaries, like his disciples, yeah? Like the first so-called church, it was really a community of believers. They were all Jews in the first century, okay? So for a few decades at least. So it's a miracle that I'm even standing before you. And I praise God for it. Okay, and I praise God for you, holy people. So now, without further blah, blah, let's go and delve into the scripture, shall we? And I want to start with Jeremiah, Jeremiah 16. And Rodney, Pastor Rodney, by the way, am I recorded? Am I recorded? Yes? So Pastor Rodney probably will hear it. So Pastor Rodney told me, he called me just before he left for Israel. By the way, he's 20 minutes, as I'm talking now here, he's 20 minutes away from my home in the Galilee. Strange ways of God, huh? I'm here, he's there. Anyway, but he asked me to give the same message also on the second service. Well, Pastor Rodney, my apology in advance. I never can repeat the same message. So I really, really want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit wishes, I will keep the same message. Amen? Pastor Rodney, it's not against you. I love you. Okay, Jeremiah 16. I want to read from verse 9. Jeremiah 16, verse 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts. And by the way, whenever you see Lord, big L, capital L, O-R-D, some translations, all of them are capitalized, big L, big O, big R, big D, it's God's private name. Already I want to drop it on you, to throw it on you. There are many gods in the world. Because in Hebrew there is no little G God and big G God. It's the same very word, Elohim. The way to differentiate between other gods, Elohim, and the real Elohim, the real God, is by his private name and another description that he gives himself in scriptures, okay? Hang on with me and you will see how important this comment is. For thus says actually Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom, of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall be when you show these people all those words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Quite strange. We know God is a righteous God. Yes or no? Very interesting that the people are so blinded, are in such great deception, beloved. Deception is deception. Which means you really believe that you are okay, while you are far like heaven from earth, from your God, from the Creator. What did you do? Why are you speaking those words against us, Jeremiah? Wait. Who is your God, beloved? When you know who is your God, you will know also whether or not you are yourself in deception. Paul warned us, Shaul the Apostle, Paul, yeah? He said, whenever you think you stand, watch out. Keep humble before thy God. Because when the minute you go out of your humbleness, you are in danger of getting into troubles, into deception. So they were deceived. What sin did we commit that you speak such a disastrous words against us? Then you shall say, I'm in verse 11. You shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. Your fathers, please keep it. Your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. Because whatever the fathers do, children cannot get around it. Whatever we do, we influence our kids. Kids cannot. I love when my kids say, I will never become like you. Really? Wait till you have your own kids. You are a copy of me and your mama, whether you like it or not. And you better like it. Why to suffer so much not liking it? Because nobody is perfect. Neither you, child. Your father has forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods. In Hebrew, Elohim, the same word. And have served them and worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. You children, again, you become like your fathers. For behold, each of one follows the dictates of his own evil heart. Sweet pumpkins, nobody here has pure heart. We all have evil hearts unless we submit them to God Almighty. Once you think you have pure heart, watch it. We are nothing but nothing. And nothing but nothing makes nothing. It's Yeshua living in us who makes us what we are. If we let him. We, out of ourselves, alone, we are nothing. Each follows the dictates of his own evil heart. How many can raise their hands? At least once or twice a day are we following the dictates of our evil heart. It's okay. I will embarrass myself. You don't need to. I mean, I know that you are holier than me. So that no one listens to me. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land, the land of Israel, into a land that you do not know, neither nor your fathers. Neither you nor your fathers. And there you shall serve other gods day and night where I will not show you favor. Are you ready for the next shift? I love God's word. So far it's so doomy, so dark. Oh God, I mean, who can stand before you? Holy, holy, holy. Are you God Almighty? Yeah, I mean, who can stand before him? Isaiah, you know, chapter 6, the priests in the temple, they could not stand when his heavy glory, and by the way, glory in Hebrew is kavod, comes from kaved, both liver and heavy. When you have the glory, the heaviness, the weight of God on you, you cannot stand it. Holy, holy, holy. No, you are prostrate on your face because no one can stand the glory of God. Let's continue. I like this shift. Therefore, verse 14, Jeremiah 16:14. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. Are you listening still? Don't fall asleep on me. But the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. Remember how it started? I am a miracle. I am a fulfillment of these words. Since the last 100, 150 years, God starts to fish his people. And soon you will see why I use this word, yeah? Fish and hunt his people from the four corners of the earth. To do what? Let's see. Behold, I will send, verse 16, for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rock. For my eyes are on their ways. This is the reason, beloved, that he brought us back in the last 100 and so years, back to the land of our forefathers, back to the promised land. Promised to whom? To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why does God bring his people back to Israel, friends? It's not such a romantic story like we love to say it from the pulpits. Hallelujah, the people of Israel are back. Why are they back? So God can judge them. Woo-hoo. Am I a heretic? Do I teach heresy here? No, the next verses say it. He brings us back from the four corners of the earth to judge us and to show his glory, both to Israel, his people, and the nations. And it's like a thread throughout scriptures, beloved, if you don't believe me. By two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. Zechariah 14, Ezekiel 47, 48, and so on. Okay? God bring his people, the captivity of Israel, of his people, chosen ones, back to judge them because God is a righteous God. That their ways that are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. And first I will repay double for their iniquity and their sin, because they have defiled my land, they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable idols. No wonder the next verse comes. Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah. Heal me, God, save me. Jeremiah was a humble man. He is known as the crying prophet. I mean, wouldn't you cry all the time? I mean, prophesying judgment and judgment upon judgment, yeah? And the people don't listen to you? And then you yourself go into captivity? This is the story of Jeremiah. But look at the verse, the following verses, 19. Oh Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. Are you ready, beloved? Why Gentiles and Israel in an end time context? Gentiles, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, when they will come, what is the context, beloved? You know, a good relator always says location, 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 right? A good Bible teacher should say context, context, context. Don't take God's word out of the context. Beloved, look what the Gentiles, when they see the people of Israel are gathered from the four corners of the earth, end time context, yeah? We are living in those days. They come to God, Gentiles, not Jews. And they tell him the following words. Surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness and unprofitable things. Will a man make gods for himself, which are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them, whom them? Gentiles, to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Those are the four letters, Hebrew letters, which makes Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever, however you pronounce it, okay? This is the very name which actually should not be placed on our mouth in vain, or should not be lifted. You know, the very first commandment out of the ten, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, your God. You shall not lift up in the Hebrew. You shall not bear my name in vain. When God wants to reveal himself personally, intimately to us, he always reveals himself as Jehovah, Yahweh. Are you with me? Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus 3. But before, I mean, turn there, but before I want to share another point here. Why the Gentiles approach God in verse 19, and they say to him, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. The answer is there, then the following verse. Verse 20. Will a man make gods for himself which are not gods? Do you see? Abba, open their eyes, I pray, B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua. Do you see what was the Gentiles' problem? They worshipped God, or gods, no little g in Hebrew. They were in such deception, they thought they worship the real, true creator God. Yet, they were deceived for his true identity. Are you still following? How do I know it? Because he says in this passage clearly, at that day, they will know why I'm paraphrasing it, who I am and my name, that my name is Yahweh. Are you with me? What's the connection to Israel? Number one, it's an end-time context. He gathers his people from the four corners of the earth. Are you with me? Yes. Gentiles are also part of it. Soon you will see who are those Gentiles. Yet they are deceived. And once they see what God has done with whom? With Israel. They say, oh, God forbid. Oh, forgive us, God, that we didn't know you. What's the connection? Jehovah never comes alone as Jehovah. Or most of the times it comes with Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, or Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of Israel. If you claim to know intimately, yeah? The real Lord of hosts, you cannot ignore his people. Are you with me? And the church for too much time, for about 1900 years, ignored and cut Jehovah God from who he is, the God of Israel. Replacement theology, Israel rejected Messiah, we received him, now we are Israel, or we are the chosen people, Israel is not important. Really? If Israel is not important, then God is not important. Because God's very private name is after them, the God of Israel. When they see those Gentiles that God gathers his people back after 2,000 years, a miracle, Rami is a miracle standing before you. They say, how come we treated Israel so wrongly all those years? Forgive us. Exodus 3. Here is Moses. You know the burning bush experience, yeah? Moses is humbled by God. He thinks he's a macho. He thinks he can... By the way, don't look down at Moses. Because according to the book of Hebrews and other, yeah, in the New Testament, and the New Testament is the best interpretation of the Old Testament. Are you with me? but it cannot do without it. What you call mistakenly Old Testament was the only scriptures the first church had. Okay? Till they canonized what we call now the New Testament. Okay? Scriptures. So, the best interpretation of the Old Testament is the New Testament. Okay? And the New Testament says that Moses, even though growing, being raised in the palace, Pharaoh palace, yeah, in Egypt, he preferred, okay, to be with his people, to leave all this richness and all these spoils, yes, spoils of life, okay? So Moses had a good, pure heart when he killed the Egyptian. He was not a murderer, like many people look down at him. He, for a good cause, he wanted to defend his people. He knew that he is the Redeemer. He had a calling on his life. His mother who nursed him, remember, till he was weaned? I can assure you, it's not in the scriptures, but allow me to imagine a little bit. Use my imagination. What do you think that she told him? Hey, Moses, you're not really my son. You know, when he suck when he nursed, yeah. Moses, you're not my son. No. Don't think you're my son. You're the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Nonsense. I'm sure she already, what do you say, from his mother's milk, he already knew who he was. Are you with me? So when he killed the Egyptian, he killed him for a good cause. He saw unrighteousness being practiced. Yet, God needed to take him through to the only good theological seminary, which is called LIFE. Sorry, it's not Dallas Theological Seminary. It's not any other. It's life. No PhD in Jewish studies or whatever. Name it, don't claim it. No degree from a theological seminary will bring you to personal relationships with Yeshua. Mm-mm. His theological seminary called Life will do it. With all the bumps, with all the valleys of shadows of death, yeah? Desert. And here Moses completely humbled. You know, from the palace up there in Egypt, yeah? Now he's just a shepherd. 40 long years. He had enough time to think. And here he is, and look at what God tells him. Before, verse 11. Moses said to him, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be their sign, etc., etc. And verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Are you ready? And God said to Moses, and please understand, I'm not using a wrong translation. While you are reading it in English, I read it in Hebrew. And the literal translation from Hebrew is, I will be whomever I choose to be. It's not I am who I am. Eheye asher eheye in Hebrew. It can be, don't worry, it can be translated to I am who I am. But literally it means I will be whatever I will be. Do not dare to put me in your small box. That's why I say no theological seminary will get you to personal relationship with Yeshua. Because most theological seminaries, all of them, put God, whether they intend to or not, in a box. Teach you doctrines. God is not interested in doctrines. God is interested in relationship. Actually, most of Yeshua, all of Yeshua's disciples, one exception is Paul, who was a scholar. Everybody looked down at them. He said, they hardly finished elementary school. I mean, who are they to tell us what to do? We are the educated, we are the scholars, we are the PhD people in Jerusalem. Who are those Galileans? Yeshua doesn't need your PhD. He needs your heart. He needs you to say, Hineni, here I am, Lord, send me. But when, please don't tell God, Hineni, if you do not mean it. Because immediately he will take you to the desert. To his theological seminary. And it can take a lifetime. You will eventually graduate when you die. Or when you change, if he comes before. I will be what I will be. I am that I am. Moreover, God says to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of the Lord God, Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial for all generation. What is his name forever? Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. Are you still following? God cannot be separated from his people. He cannot, don't even try, he cannot be separated from his people. And he will never be separated from his people. Otherwise, he's not God. Otherwise, he cannot keep a promise. Would you like to be saved by a God who cannot keep promise? God forbid. My beloved, chapter 6 of Exodus, verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But my name, Yahweh, I was not known to them. I was not known to them. Beloved, God wants us to know him, but even more, he wants to know us. Back to Jeremiah 16. Back to Jeremiah 16, beloved. End time context. Here is Israel existing after 2,000 years, right? Kyle, weren't you impressed by Israel? Superpower in the Middle East now. Superpower worldwide, even as a nation, small nation. You know, per capita, we have, I think, acquired most of the Nobel Prize. You know what I mean? The Jews. I mean, we are a blessing to the world, at least to those who want to see it, yeah? Yet, Gentiles, nations, non-Jewish nations, are going more and more against Israel, and Israel is more and more isolated. Israel is blamed, even though Israel is the victim, Israel is always blamed as the aggressors. And beloved, Yeshua said, another end time context, when the Son of Man will come, I'm paraphrasing with my bad English, forgive me. You know, it's in Matthew, okay? He says, the nations will gather to him, remember? To some he will say, go to the left. To others he will say, come, beloved. Come to my right. You know, the sheep and goats, yeah? But what was the basis upon which he decided who will go to his right, who will go to his left? How they treated his people. Whatever you did to my little brethren, read it in context and you will see those are the Jewish people. How did the church for about 2,000 years treated Yeshua's little brethren? Did they go to visit them when they were in jail? Did they go to save them from the gas chambers? Did they feed them when they were hungry? Did they clothe them when they were naked? Nope. Do you see why the Gentiles will say it 10 times? They call it, forgive me, we did not know. We inherited lies. Can a man make, you know, gods out of worthless things? Beloved, Whoever calls himself a Christian, a true Christian, and does not have a heart, big heart, not a little place in his heart, or hell, to Israel, whether they sin or not, is not a true Christian. I don't take my words back. I did not come here to tickle your ears. Beloved, you will be judged according to how you treated Israel. Don't worry if you don't have money to come to Israel. Start to treat your Jewish lawyer or Jewish dentist. That's how a typical Jewish mother wants her son to be, or a doctor, dentist, or a lawyer. Yeah. But start to treat the Jews around you the way God wants you to treat them, which means be little Yeshuas to them. Are you with me? But how can we get to be known by God? Remember, and I'm ending here. I think I have 3 minutes. Am I reading right?
Carry on.
This is the 3 minutes is for me. You see, my eyes betray me. I think it's 3 hours. No. Okay. Beloved. Another end time passage, if I may. Only 2 more minutes, please. Bear with me. Beloved, in Matthew, just as he closed, Yeshua closes the Sermon on the Mount, he says, many at that time will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, Adon, Adon, in Hebrew. In your name we cast demons. In your name we did. And he will look at them and say, excuse me, can I see your passport, your ID, driving license? Who are you? Nice meeting you. I'm Yeshua. Who are you? Depart from you, you evildoers. I never knew you. How come? Do you think they used devil power to cast demons? I don't believe it. They used the Holy Spirit to cast demons. Because God is such a sovereign God that for the sake of the sick person who come for you to pray for him, he will heal him. But he will judge you for being double-minded, for being unknown by him. Are you with me? Because he says, depart from me, evildoers. And he doesn't say, because you did not know me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Depart from me, evildoers, because I never knew you. And in Hebrew, to know somebody, we have children here, speaks about intimacy, like between a man and his wife, not his girlfriend, his wife. When a man and his wife are one, in flesh, by the way, it's not only in flesh, soul and spirit, by the way. You cannot separate it, okay? When they are one, what comes out? The fruits of the flesh. Children, are you with me?
Yes.
The natural speaks and points to the spiritual. When you are one with Yeshua, spiritually, intimating, what will come out? The fruits of the Spirit. Are you with me?
Yes.
We are Yeshua's wife or bride, aren't we? We're supposed to be. What does a good wife do? She gives herself to her husband. How does her husband know her? What is the climax of their love relationship? When she opens up and let him in. Are you following?
Yes.
Last passage, I promise. Please, Luke. It's a very, very nice passage. Luke 9. Chapter 9. And with this we will finish. Luke 9. So it's 10. Luke 10. Let's go to it. Verse 38. Luke 10:38. I'm done. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. It was on the way to Jerusalem, by the way. We know by the context, it was in Bethany, okay? Bethany is just on the Mount of Olives, opposite Jerusalem, okay? And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Please, I want you to look at it in more than one layer, the historic layer, shall you? I want you to look spiritually into the depth of this passage and just imagine Yeshua is coming back, Kyle, now. How many of you would like to welcome Yeshua when he comes back? Hallelujah! He comes! Please come, come! So Martha welcomes him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Yeshua's feet and heard his word. But Martha was distressed with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care for that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Yeshua answered and said to her. Actually, I should say it different. And Yeshua answered and is saying it still to all of us. Martha, Martha. Church, church, you are worried and troubled about many things. I have a healing ministry. I have jail ministry. I have this ministry. I have that ministry. I'm busy, 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 busy for you, Lord. And look at this lazy Kyle sitting here, reading your Bible. Can you not tell him to raise up? I need you. Church, church, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. I want you to open yourself up to me and let me in and get to know you. Of course, it's not written as that, yeah? But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. We are in the end time, aren't we? Amen. And I could really, I had a few other notes to share with you, but you know, time is running, sorry. Maybe I will share with the other service. Shh, don't tell, okay? Don't tell Pastor Rodney. We are at the end time for sure. If you do not think that we are really living in end time, you are blinded spiritually. Who in this end time context, who is your God? Your answer after my teaching should be Jehovah, the God of Israel. Are you with me? But it's not a creed. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. Who cares what you believe? Also the demons believe the same. Show me what you believe. If you believe that the true God is the God of Israel, act accordingly and treat your Yeshua's little brethren accordingly. Are you with me? Yes. But do not neglect at end time context to open up for Yeshua. Don't be overly busy. We're doing this and this and this and all for God's sake. God doesn't need you so much. He can really do without you. What he wants is your heart. He wants you. He wants to get into you. He wants to love on you. Shall we let him today? Amen. Thank you so much for your patience. Can I leave this one?